Dr. Karen Phelps hasn't been formally declared the winner in Wentworth yet, but she's already getting down to business. Today she met crossbench MPs at Parliament House to talk strategy on issues like asylum seekers, climate change and live exports. Negotiations between Labor and the Coalition on a deal to get asylum seekers off Nauru have stalled. But is that about to change? The soon-to-be member for Wentworth, Karen Phelps, joins me now. Welcome back to RN Drive and congratulations.
Hi, Patricia.
The Australian Electoral Commission hasn't formally declared you the winner in Wentworth yet. Why did you decide to come to Parliament today?
Well, I don't think there's any room time to spare. We have only two more sitting weeks in this Parliament this year. And so I just wanted to hit the ground running because there are so many logistical issues to deal with. We have to look at things like setting up offices, working out what staff to bring in for support. We need to work out what the parliamentary agenda is, the legislative agenda. And, you know, there's so much to do and just a few weeks to do that before the next sitting weeks that I thought I'd go down at the invitation of the crossbench and meet up with them.
You've said there are no issues with either your position as a Sydney City Councillor or as a bulk billing GP putting you in violation with Section 44 of the Constitution. Will you release this legal advice?
I received legal advice before my nomination for the purposes of informing myself and making sure that that I believed that I have no issues with relation to Section 44. In terms of my position on council, anyone can check with the Office of Local Government what the regulations are there. It's no mystery. And there are precedents for other doctors who have worked in Parliament and seen patients as well. So Medicare is the patient's rebate. So it's not a payment to the doctor.
Sure, but why not just release the legal advice to put any doubts to rest?
Well, I have no doubts.
Well, other people might. Why not release the legal advice?
I don't wish to release the legal advice at this stage.
Why not?
It has some information in it that relates to things that I don't particularly want to have other people looking at the moment.
So you're saying private financial matters?
Yes, it's personal legal advice.
You've decided to stay on as a Sydney City Councillor as well as the member for Wentworth. That's a significant workload. Why do both jobs? Why not just commit to the new job, the member for Wentworth?
Well, I certainly wasn't expecting to be running for federal parliament just 8 weeks ago, and we've run a very intensive campaign, and it looks as though that's been successful. And so I'll be making sure that I perform that role and that I meet my responsibilities for anything that I'm going to be doing. I have, in the past, when I was president of the AMA, managed to juggle a couple of different roles. And in terms of the council, I've spoken to the CEO of the council and I am able to meet those responsibilities, certainly until the next federal election.
Doesn't it divide your loyalties a bit, though?
I don't see how.
Well, I don't know. You're kind of busy doing something else, aren't you?
Well, I think that when we're talking about the House of Representatives, we're talking about people representing their community. So you know, have to be living and working in your community and not just being a politician. I think that it's actually quite important that you in touch with real life and you know, I think there's been too much of career politicians not knowing anything else about, you know, business or, you know, the workings of their communities. And I actually think it's an advantage bringing that life experience and, you know, the other connections to community into the federal parliamentary sphere and not just living in what some people refer to as the Canberra bubble.
So are you going to revisit this decision at the next election?
Well, you see, this is a fairly rapid rearrangement that we've had to go through, and we're still doing that, of course, at the moment. And the next federal general election will be another opportunity for me to just see how things are going and to make sure that, as I said, that I meet all of my responsibilities, which I've always done.
Today you met the other crossbench MPs who sit in the House. Are you planning to use your vote as a block on the issues that you agree on?
I'm an independent, and so I will operate as an independent. Certainly the messages that I got from the crossbench today is that they also appreciate their independence and would be making decisions and operating as either independents or minor party members, but that there was a lot of cooperation. And so where there are shared values, then the crossbenchers would vote together. Where there were not shared values, I imagine they would not vote together.
The crossbench in the House of Reps is a diverse bunch. Cathy McGowan, Bob Catter, Rebecca Sharkey. Bob Catter has actually said that Fraser Anning shouldn't be in his party anymore. He's kicked him out. Does that make you feel, more comfortable about working with Bob Catter?
Well, as I said, as an independent, I work with alongside people from all political parties. So I would be having conversations with people in the Liberal Party, the Nationals, the Labor Party, and the various crossbenchers. You know, yes, there is a growing group of crossbenchers, but that's not to say it's an impenetrable block.
Talks between Labor and the government on the New Zealand offer to resettle asylum seekers broke down this week. This is a priority for you. You've made it very clear, and other crossbench MPs have made it clear too. Are you prepared to use your power as a bloc to force something on this issue?
Well, I sensed a very strong reaction from the other crossbenchers today, and they certainly seem to have a very strong feeling about what's happening with the children on Nauru and that they should be brought to Australia for urgent medical treatment. There have been some attempts at compromise positions between Labor and the government over the last, you know, few weeks, and it looked as though there might be a bit of a chink in the armour a week or so ago when 11 children were removed without the need for a court order. And bearing in mind that the government has spent something like, I believe, $320,000 fighting medical orders in court to stop children being transferred from Nauru when the doctors have deemed them necessary for medical transfer. And so the fact that some children were transferred without the need for that seemed like a little bit of a relief to the refugee advocates and to doctors who would be looking after them over here, of course. But there are still 52 children on that island, and one in four of them are suicidal, and from reports. And we also hear that a number of them have traumatic withdrawal syndrome, so they have given up the will to live and are not eating and drinking. And one of the doctors commented to me, doesn't the government know what happens to children when they stop eating and drinking? Sooner or later, one of them will die.
Dr. Karen Phelps is my guest. She is, well, likely to be the next member for Wentworth. 0418 226 576. You're far ahead. It looks like you've got it in the bag, but until it's declared, I'll be careful with my language. Liberal MP Julia Banks gave a speech tonight calling for children to be taken out of detention. She's broken ranks with her own government. Will you reach out to her and ask her for her vote on the issue, work with her to try and establish some power on this?
I would really like to have a conversation with Julia Banks, particularly after her speech today, because I think it really highlights the fact that there is appears to be a hypocrisy here, where we heard a much-needed apology to the survivors of institutional child abuse earlier this week, and yet there is a selective compassion when it comes to children who are asylum seekers on Nauru. And you know, these children do have just one childhood, and it is fleeting, and the Australian government is, you know, has them trapped on an island in unacceptable circumstances. And, you know, it just sits so uncomfortably, I believe, on the Australian conscience for these children to remain there, and particularly now that we know how serious their medical and psychological condition is.
What power do you have? What levers do you have? How can you force the government's hand on this?
Well, I think that the fact that this is being discussed now so fervently, and that there is at least one member of the government who may well not vote with the government if a private member's bill goes up for a vote. This shouldn't come down to legislation, though. This really should be a matter of humanity and decency. You know, to have to wait for a vote to force a government by numbers to do the right thing is really shameful.
So you don't want, you're saying it shouldn't come to legislation, but you're prepared to what, sponsor a private member's bill to try and get Julia Banks to vote for it, to try and get Labor to vote for it, to use the numbers you can marshal to try and do something on this?
Well, Andrew Wilkie's already put forward a private member's bill, so, you know, that hasn't been voted on, and I guess, you know, I haven't been sworn into Parliament.
I'm jumping the gun here, I like to do that.
Yeah, well, jump away. But, I think we are all frustrated and wanting to move ahead with this, you know, quickly and using whatever levers there
might be. So you'll get behind his bill then?
Well, I think what we need to do is to encourage the government not to wait until there is legislation that forces their hand and where you have government members having to cross the floor, which, I mean, is a great thing if government members do decide to do that. But I think in the meantime, the government needs to find a solution. It needs to find a solution.
Labor has suggested they'll seek your support. In fact, Tony Burke said it on this program, to refer Peter Dutton to the High Court. They say there are genuine questions about his eligibility. Will you vote to refer him to the High Court?
Look, on the first instance, I have said that I believe that governments should serve their full term. And I've also said that I haven't seen a full detailed brief of Peter Dutton's situation. And so I'm really not even prepared to comment on it until I have.
Okay, so what is your process on this? Do you have a process? Will you be seeking a brief to see whether you feel comfortable that he is eligible to sit?
I would like to see a brief, yes.
And who will you be asking for this brief from the government, the Solicitor General? I mean, because we've already seen it was released just before the leadership spill. We have some idea of what it says. It's just an issue about whether legal advice is good enough when the High Court makes the decisions.
Well, at this point, I haven't seen a result from the AEC. I haven't been sworn in. I don't have staff at this stage, so I would have to make inquiries about where was the best place for me to receive a detailed brief.
But you are willing to do that and then to consider your options in relation to referring Peter Dutton? Declared the member for Wentworth?
I think it is important for me not to comment on that at this stage until I have seen all of the details.
Well, sort of congratulations, because we are waiting for the declaration. But, I trust Anthony Green very much, and he suggests that you are very much in the box seat. Dr. Karen Phelps, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Patricia.
That's the soon-to-be member for Wentworth, Dr. Karen Phelps. 0418 226 576 is our text line.